Good morning. Morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father. And thank you. Appreciate that. From our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, we pray that the triune God would be with us today as we eat on God's Word and we digest God's Word. Today's message is God's higher math. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but this is a text. It's very similar to one we had that Pastor Rick preached before about when Jesus fed 5,000 men. This time it's only 4,000 men. But it's interesting how Jesus has to repeat something to get our attention, to get the disciples' attention. One time was not enough. He had to do it again. Similarly, Jesus had to remind Peter twice that he could provide for fish. Remember, at the beginning of Peter's ministry, Jesus had a miraculous catch of fish to show Peter that he was going to be called to be fisher of men, and he could trust Jesus Christ, he could trust God to be with him, and it would take care of him. And in his new vocation of being fisher of men, Peter had no idea, no training, on-the-job training, or no, except for being with Jesus, no manuals, no education, that he would be able to teach him, and he would show him how to do his new job with spirit engendered and spirit-energized power. Amen? And then at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, after he was raised from the dead, what did he do? He did the same thing with Peter, right? Remember that? And had the large 153 large fish to remind Peter as he began his ministry and as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, that I will be with you, Peter. So remember, as you start this new job of yours, I will be with you. So Jesus repeats a miracle here. So Pastor Rick's already talked about it, and he'll talk about it again with the application of this next week, so it's kind of limited. I thought, well, what am I going to talk about today? Because, you know, preachers always have to find something to talk about, right? We can't be without a loss for words. So I want to talk about feeding on God's Word, but also God's higher math, how He provides when the numbers just don't come together, and the accountants and the analysts cannot figure out how God can do what only God can do. Amen? All right, so we have Jesus here with a whole bunch of people. It says, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Jesus was getting quite a following, not in Jerusalem, but in Galilee, among the 10 different cities of that area. And so there's another large group hearing Jesus, coming to hear him, but also coming to see him, but also coming to experience miracles, because he was healing all kinds of people. So they came, and they came from a long distance. And since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, for they have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance. And the disciples, with tremendous faith, said, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Jesus had already done this, right? He'd handle it. What are we going to do, Lord? I don't know how this is going to work. But before we become too critical of disciples, we can see God at work in our lives and then be filled with anxious doubt over another situation that comes up. Or even the same situation, even. He did it before, but I don't know if he can pull it through again a second time. But God has a great track record, doesn't he? He does not leave us. He does not fail us. And he may wait till the last minute, the last hour, but he will come through. Right? He will provide. Amen. Amen. That's right. Absolutely. So Jesus has compassion on these people who have nothing to eat. They come. They've been there 3 days. They're in a remote place. There's no food around, no restaurants at all. And Jesus has compassion. He doesn't just say, well, that's too bad. That's their problem. Let's take care of it. And we are called to have compassion for those that are hungry, even in our nation, even in this neighborhood. So I'm so grateful for our food bank. It's running kind of low. But there are a lot of people that get so much benefit from that food bank. And I see the many families that receive it with tears in their eyes, not knowing how they're going to feed their family that night. So thank you for your generosity in helping the food bank. It's a very, very important ministry. And you don't see it like I do, the response and the gratefulness. So thank you for that. And we continue that ministry with compassion. So, in our text, Jesus had compassion, and he wanted to do something about it. And his disciples did not have any answers. Man, many times, does not have the answer. Humanistic responses, humanistic reason, humanistic solutions, when you have God there right next to you, are always found wanting, right? When you've got God next to you, He can provide, He can do a whole lot better. Amen? Amen. So Jesus says, well, how many loaves do you have? Seven, they replied. So they got seven loaves, okay? So Jesus takes what they have and blesses it. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When He had taken the seven loaves, and He does this in communion, it's sort of like Jesus' formula. He took the bread, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to His disciples. You say that every Sunday in communion, right? And He gave it for the people to eat, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also, and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. God gives us what we need, right? Not what we want, but how many times do we forget to be thankful for what God has done, that we can eat and we can be more than satisfied. Yesterday with our wonderful Bubba breakfast, I had great biscuits and gravy. I had leftovers twice yesterday, so I had three meals on that. That was pretty enjoyable. And not only that, but Wednesday night, I had this, I was not feeling well. And what a feast that Dorothy provided for us, with turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and homemade gravy and sweet potatoes and green beans. And when we had cake left over from Celebrate Recovery, and we had quite a feast. And there was something about that. I felt so much love. Thank you, Dorothy, because I wasn't feeling well. And to have this feast and be served on my hand and foot, oh my goodness, I was spoiled rotten. But I loved it. But that's, food brings us together. It really does. And it's a great ministry to bring people together, to cook for them, and then for them to receive love and to have fellowship with one another. In fact, the word companion means to break bread with someone. When we break bread with one another, there's a real blessing. And here, you talk about a blessing. Jesus breaks the bread, and as He breaks the bread, what happens to the bread? It's multiplying. The disciples are helping Him out, and what a delight. Spurgeon talks about the delight of doing angels' work. And this is angels' work, that the disciples get to be in on this. And so they're distributing, giving to hungry people the food. It's not coming from them. They didn't have the faith. They didn't have the resources. They're just the conduit, the distributor, the middleman, right? They have nothing to do with it, but they're having a lot of fun doing it. Oh, here, yes, yes. Oh, you want more? Here, have all kinds of bread. Here, here's some fish too. Throwing out fish and throwing out bread, and yet not wasting any of it. And then at the end, they started with seven loaves. They ended up with seven basketfuls. So they ended up with more than they started. And that's the way Jesus is, right? He gives more than we can ever ask or imagine. But we limit ourselves in what we think God can do, right? Oh, so many times I limit God. And I don't know if you can handle that, God. Oh, He says, try me. I think I can handle that. And God's higher math is all through the Bible. Remember Gideon? Gideon had a scare. He was the most shy, nervous, weak, unconfident general you can imagine. But God called him for a purpose so that God would get the glory. And as Gideon assembled the army, what happened? God said, oh, there's too many here because I'm afraid you guys would get the credit instead of realizing it's for me. He says, I want you to, and they basically whittled it down to 300 men to go into battle so that the glory would be given to God, right? And God takes this weak, very insignificant nation called the children of Israel, right? And He does battle with Egypt and wins. He opens the Red Sea and they have victory. But what do the children of Israel do a lot of times? Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, you led us out here to die. Now we got this Red Sea in front of us. We got an army. What are you going to do, Moses? Where's your God now? Just watch. He says, stand and see the deliverance of the Lord. Boom! The waters part. And they're delivered. Before. And during the desert, what happened? They were given manna, falls from heaven. Oh, that's not enough. We want some meat. Here comes quail falling from the skies. We're tired of meat. Never satisfied, right? But God kept giving and giving and giving. And God still does that today, right? Now, we've been talking in our recent council meetings, in our financial reports, about how God has been blessing our congregation. And there's another church in Inner Phoenix where the pastor is a co-worker at Touchstone, and he was all excited about a month ago, and he kept saying, you got to talk about our church. He says, we can't figure out the finances. Here it is summer, and we're getting more and more money. We can't figure out where it's coming from. I know, I've been there. No, you don't understand. This is what's going on. I go, no, I do. We're having the same thing here. And it, you can't figure it out, right? It's like, how do we have money in the bank? How is God blessing us except it's a blessing from God, right? We can't figure this out. God's math is not human math. He extends, He multiplies, He provides and weighs it. The human calculator in our brain, or a man-made calculator, it doesn't figure, it does not compute with God. With God, 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. 2 plus 2 equals 222. And then some. Because He divides and He multiplies in ways that we are astounded if we continue to believe in Him, right? So God provides. He leads and guides us. He feeds us. He guides and He provides. We've got to keep trusting Him. And that's what He did here, right? He did it. And were the disciples amazed? Well, they probably were, but did they remember? I don't think so, because next week Pastor Rick's going to talk about they still didn't get it. He said, watch out for the yeast. Watch out for the bread, the yeast of the Pharisees. And they didn't get it. And then they went on a boat trip and they forgot some bread. And they thought Jesus was ticked off about that. When you got the bread of life in the boat, you're okay. You're going to be all right. And Daryl, we've talked about the fact that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're talking about our daily necessities of life. But ultimately, who is the bread of life? And there's an ultimate hunger that's deeper than our physical hunger, and that is a spiritual hunger, and we see it in sober recovery. We see people coming in here very hungry, don't we? Very desperate to get rid of their addictions. They want food that will satisfy. They want a drink that will not make them drunk, that will give them sustenance, that will feed their souls. And when they come in here and are open and we start singing those songs, it's like God opens up their heart and He opens up their mouths and says, here, I got all the food you want. And to watch people eating on the Word of God as they sing the words and as they hear Robert talking about the message from Sober Recovery, it's God's Word that they start eating maybe for the first time in a long time or ever. And they start, you see them, it's like somebody having a wonderful steak dinner, 5-course meal, and you watch them, and maybe they haven't had a meal in a long time, and you just enjoy. Everybody's watching me Wednesday because it came a little late. I had a whole group of people watching me eat, which is kind of embarrassing, but they had a good time watching me enjoy this food because I don't exactly make turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes at home for myself. It just doesn't happen. So they're all watching me having a good time because they'd already had the meal. They'd already enjoyed it. Now they're enjoying watching me eat it, almost reliving it, you know. And in the same way, when we've dined on God's meat, on His bread, and we're satisfied, and then we see other people coming in very hungry, very famished. They've tried everything in the world to fill them, and it's left them still hungry for more, even more hungry. And then we see them eat on God's Word and be satisfied, and more than just satisfied, just so joyous and filled. And like, oh, that tasted so good. It makes our joy double, doesn't it? We see someone else enjoying it. And it's so good to bring other people. And you know, we're nothing. It's Jesus who does the providing. It's Jesus who baked the bread, if you will. One time I preached on this years ago, and I had homemade baked bread baking in the kitchen, the church's kitchen. So they were smelling this bread while I was talking about it. And then we had bread for everybody after the service. I didn't do that today, sorry. But anyway, I had a lot of help to do that. But it was kind of neat while they were smelling the bread, just as I started preaching on this, and I go, isn't it interesting if you can smell bread? Maybe just imagine smelling fresh baked bread. And it was kind of neat. But we are called to be an appetizer for Jesus Christ. We are called to make people hungry for more of God, right? So they see us worshiping and really getting into it and chewing on God's Word. And I love our Bible classes on Sunday and Wednesday where we discuss it. We eat on God's Word. And you find out, well, this is what tastes good to me. Oh, well, this is what I got out. This is what tastes good to me. And then it helps us all even be more hungry for more of God's Word. The more we have, the more we want more of, and yet we don't get fat because we exercise that food, and we can have all we want. And it's that heavenly food that feeds our souls. We have so many skinny, emaciated, starving people spiritually that think the football season is going to be their salvation coming up next week. But think that's going to be their answer. If only the Cardinals do it this year. If only ASU goes all the way. Well, didn't work out so good last night for the Sun Devils. If you put all your hopes in sports or people or your job, you're going to be dissatisfied and you're going to be disappointed and you're not going to be filled. What does the Bible say in Isaiah 55? Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. That's so true, right? We feed on God's Word, and we share that with others. It changes everything. And then we want to share that with others. We want to just say, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found a piece of bread. Here's where you can find the bread of life. And so we want to invite more people to come and experience the bread of life and feed on Him as we feed on communion. His very wonder of His very self given to us in this supper, where we see healing, where we see God's love, and we experience His love. So we want to remind ourselves, stay in the Word. Here's Our Daily Bread, the devotional book we have out there, right? This isn't physical bread, but it's our daily bread for our souls. And if we just take, if we've said over and over, 15 minutes with God's Word and a time with God, He is our breakfast in the morning. He is our last-minute snack at night. He's our sustenance throughout the day. And that'll help you start your day better, right? With Jesus, with the daily bread, starting off and going out into the world, well, donuts are fine. Breakfast is fine. It's the most important meal of the day, everybody says. But this is more important, right? This is the most important meal of the day, to feed on God's Word. So may God continue to lead us to feed on God's Word, to trust God, and not need signs. Because Jesus had just performed this great miracle, right? Everybody's all satisfied and excited. Here come the Pharisees. Just had 4,000 men give them food, right? And they say, and they come to Jesus and they asked Him for a sign from heaven. I'm missing something there, right? You just had this. And can you imagine Jesus' frustration? And He says, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given you. Then He left them, got back into the boat, and crossed the other side. But He was shaking His head the whole time. But miracles don't do it. Pastor Rick and I have seen that. Miracles themselves, healing themselves doesn't do it. It takes a change on the inside, an inner transformation, and then people are hungry for God. They want more of God and they're satisfied. But it takes the Holy Spirit to cause that hunger and cause that openness. Say, I need help. I need God. I don't need religion. I am desperate. And when we get to that desperation, Jesus comes with a feast. And He says, here it is. Eat up. And so we come to the Lord and we say, here I am, Lord. Feed me. And may God, the Holy Spirit, continue that hunger in our church in Jesus' name. Amen.